And that is a great song. Thank you, Miss Melanie. Let's open our Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of... We're going to read three different passages or three different verses. The book of Psalms is where we'll start this morning. Psalms chapter 34, if you will. Psalms 34, and we're going to look at this. And it's interesting that today Halloween falls on a Sunday, and so it's kind of a teachable moment. So we'll be speaking on this subject this morning. Fears that are common, fears God can cure. I am told that in Scripture, the phrases fear not and be not afraid are mentioned approximately 365 times. Interesting to me, that's how many days there are in our year. So maybe one fear not for every day, because we are fearful people. And we live in a day of uncertainty, and it's almost a spirit of fear that is on our nation right now. From disease to security of jobs to direction of our government to safety in our streets to a lack of police officers in cities. We've never seen the chaos like today. And so I believe today would be a good day for us to bring this message. Psalm chapter 34, verse 4. You may remain seated since we're going to look at several verses. Here's what David said. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You mean the great David that killed the giant had fear? And he didn't have just one type of fear, all my fears. That encourages me. If David was a little bit fearful over some things, I don't feel so bad. But he delivered him. And then another place in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 7. And I'll read it if you can't find it in time, but 2 Corinthians 7. And Paul is talking about all that he's gone through in the ministry. He was beaten, he was jailed, so many things. But 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. He says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. That's amazing. He said, there was a lot of battle on the outside, but let me tell you about what was going on in the inside of me. Fears. That's amazing. And then the last one, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing this young pastor, Timothy, who was pastoring in the day when Nero was his president. The one who made the Colosseum and brought the Christians in and threw them to the lions and the bears and the leopards. Those who they tied to stakes and burned alive. That's the day in which he lived. It was during that day John the Baptist was beheaded, and Paul later would be beheaded, and James was killed with a sword, and the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, hailed and slaughtered people to prison. He didn't just kill them, it used the word slaughtered. So that's the day Timothy pastored in. And Paul says here to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It is not a sin to be afraid of some things. And if you're not, you're a strange person. Someone takes a gun, points it to your head, and you say, I'm not afraid. Something's weird with you. But he said, God has not given us the spirit. He's saying a constant attitude of being afraid over everything. But then he says, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. So Paul is saying, Timothy, you live in a dangerous time to pastor, and they're going to kill the pastor first. I know you're afraid, but I just want to tell you, God's not giving you that fear. It's coming from somewhere else. Fears that are common, fears God can cure. Father, bless the brief time we have today. Help us say something to help someone for a long time. We ask for your presence, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we, and I use the word we, get scared. They say there's top 20 fears in people in our country. You could probably name some. They didn't survey me, so maybe they didn't get them all right. Here it is. Number one, spiders. By the way, hey, ushers, release the spiders right now. Okay. Number two, snakes. And then in a different order, death, lightning and thunder, darkness. I'll go for this one. Needles. Water. Not drinking it. I've never seen it. And I'm drowning. Speaking publicly. Crowds. Failure. Being alone. The unknown. Earthquakes. Falling. Change. And then there's one phobia, and I'm going to try to pronounce it properly. Hippotomonstrosequipedalophobia. Yeah, I can only say it once, and that's a fear of big words. That's true. That is really, I was kind of afraid even pronouncing it. Because of movies we have seen, we're afraid to take showers. We're afraid of birds. We're afraid of people walking down the street with hockey masks. We don't like clowns. We're afraid of birds. We don't like people with screws going through their necks or people with long incisor teeth. It's just an amazing thing. All throughout Scripture, there's a lot of Bible characters we know about that had fears. Adam had fear when he had taken the fruit and eaten it. And God said, Adam, where are you? He said, I feared and I hid. Cain murdered his brother. And God was looking for him. He said, I was afraid. It was Abraham, they said, we really like your wife. We want her. He said, she's not my wife, she's my sister. He was afraid they would kill him, and he lied. It was Jacob, his brother, said this, and I don't know how you spell it. He stole his birthright, and he was fearful when he came with 400 men to greet him. It was Joseph's brothers who they had sold to slavery. 13 years later, he's the prime minister of Egypt. They don't recognize him, and they're bowing, begging for food. And he says, Luke, I am your brother. And the Bible says they were terrified because they knew he could take their life. It was the crowd that was fearful. When Korah got upset, he was rebellious against Moses, God's man. He says, you take too much on you, Moses. And the whole crowd was cheering him on. God opened up the earth. And Korah fell into the center of the earth. And then it smushed him. I'd be afraid too. It was Elisha. He looked up and he saw the enemy armies were trying to kill his leader. Elisha's servant saw all the enemy soldiers surrounding the city. And he says, Master, what shall we do? I'm afraid. It was Israel at the Red Sea, where Pharaoh said, why did I let you go? And he's pursuing them. And there's the sea and they can't escape. It said, and they were afraid. It was King Saul who had gotten away from the Lord. And it's the night before a battle. And it says he was afraid and went to a witch and said, read my palm or what's my future? Tell me what's going to happen. He was so afraid. Fear affects us physically. I've read and seen research that says it increases heart rate. It definitely increases breathing rate. It can cause ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome. It accelerates aging. Some of you have been afraid your whole life. Huh? I shouldn't have said that. It can cause migraines and even fibromyalgia. I remember years ago when I was a Bible college student in Texas, going door to door, inviting people to church and giving out gospel tracts. I was by myself. I couldn't get a partner. And it was starting to be dusk. Sun was starting to go down. And it was a little bit eerie because I was just by myself. A little court, a little dead-end neighborhood. I remember knocking on this home, well-to-do homes. And as soon as this woman opened the door, first time I've ever had this thought. I've never thought this before, and I've done this a lot. As soon as she opened the door, I said, she's going to stab me. That was the thought in my mind. She is going to stab me. And she didn't have anything in her hand. But all of a sudden, my hair just kind of got on end. And my, I'm starting to breathe kind of heavy and swallowing. And I said, ma'am, I was just filled with fear. I said, we're just inviting everyone to church and like to give you one of these. And she said in a sweet, petite voice, I don't go to church. And then her voice changed. And I don't. And she began cursing at me in a man's bass voice and slammed the door. My heart's beating like that. And I'm saying, what am I doing out here? I was fearful. I've never had a visit like that. I said, well, I got a couple more doors. I at least finished the court. I went to the next door. I kid you not. There is, beautiful house. There is a broomstick hanging next to the door with a bicycle seat bolted to the middle of it and handlebars bolted to the top of it. Let me see. I met the demon-possessed woman right here. And now here's the witch's broom right here. I knocked on the door and the lady said, nah, we're not interested. I said, time out. I said, you may not be interested, but I'm very interested. What is that? She said, what do you mean? I pointed to the broom. I said, it looks like something a witch would ride on. And she said, and? Sometimes we get afraid. And then sometimes we make others afraid. Have you looked around our town during the season of Halloween? I mean, there's people hanging from trees. There's ghosts. There's 9-foot ghouls. There's body parts buried in their yard. There's skulls. There's hands coming up out of the ground. There's blood. There's spider webs everywhere. There's 8-foot spiders. Hey, get this. You can bring a witch to public school, but you can't put the baby in the manger in the public school. It may scare somebody. But somehow people like to scare. I remember years ago when I was working with the teenagers in Louisiana, it was common. Now, again, I don't want the teenagers to listen to this. Sure way to get them to listen is say, don't listen to this. This is a story. This is not something you do. Okay, so this is something that happened. Back then, it was common for churches to have, during the Halloween week, a haunted house or some night of terror because the kids wanted to get scared. And they'd come dressed up. And so one year we would have like a gross room where it would be like the gelatin and, you know, that's the blood and the grapes, it's the eyes and the spaghetti's the intestines, and, you know, all this kind of weird stuff. Well, year after year, it just didn't work. And then we'd have two graves outside the church. We'd say, this guy got saved. He went to heaven. This guy did not. Which one are you? You know, we tried to make it evangelistic and things like that. Well, I remember one year, a little junior high girl looked up and she said this. Are we supposed to be afraid? Well, I'm not. And I don't know what happened. Something snapped inside of me. And I said, you're not afraid, little girl? You'll be afraid next year. And we began planning all year long. And again, I crossed some lines. Shouldn't have done this. This was unbiblical. God's not giving us the spirit of fear. So all of a sudden we said, all right, and we started having planning meetings. We said, we need a house that we can make look haunted. We found one, Leland College. Don't Google it now. It's still there. I did Google it. It's still standing. An abandoned college in Baker, Louisiana. Three buildings, brick buildings, 3 stories, leaning water tower, busted out windows, graffiti on the sides of the building, vines growing up, trees growing inside the buildings. No one had ever seen it. We just heard that some people lived there, that kind of homesteaded in those empty buildings. I took 2 youth workers, 119, 126, and in the middle of the day, we found Leland College. And we pulled off a groom road, and it was just a narrow, about the size of this path here. And it was just gravel with weeds growing over. We went about 100, 150 yards. You couldn't see anything but woods. And then it opened up. There was the college. I said, this is perfect. It was scary in the daytime. I put a $50 bill on the dash. I said, I'll give it to either one of you men if you'll just go in the building alone. Both of them locked their doors. We started going in that building. There was broken glass. scurrying of little creatures, paintings while people are high on drugs all over the walls, old mattresses. I said, this is perfect. We had just gone insane. We're going to use an abandoned building. About that time, I called in the biggest gossip in our youth group. Happened to be a girl. And I said, Loretta, can you keep a secret? She said, yeah, I can keep a secret. I said, good. I said, we're going to have two cadavers at the haunted house. She said, what? I said, two cadavers, you know, the dead bodies they experiment on at the LSU science lab. She goes, no. I said, about that time, I told someone, I said, hey, I need you to fill up my car with gas, but don't look in the trunk. Well, everyone wanted to fill my car up with gas and look in the trunk. They had a payphone outside of my office, and I could hear the teenagers on it during break. Is this the LSU science lab? Can you really buy dead bodies? And the guy on the other line, it was perfect. He just played along. He said, yeah, it's Halloween week. It's two for the price of one. And they put down the phone. So then about that time, one of our seniors named Keith, he came up to me, said, Pastor. Well, not Pastor back then. It was just Brother Mike. Some of the people know where the haunted house is, and I don't know where it is. That's not fair for all the seniors need to know where it is. I said, Keith, I'll take you to the haunted house. But if you tell anyone, I will get you. He said, okay. I found out he told somebody. So it was time for the haunted house. We put all of our youth workers in the haunted house. Some were stabbing each other repeatedly with those protractable knives. Others were gnawing on a bone of a cow bone. Their hair was teased up. We felt led to, of the spirit, I'm not going to say which spirit, but we felt led to buy live rats, live mice, tied strings around their tails, stapled the string to the floor, strobe lights in every room. So now there's scurrying of little creatures. There's music. There's candles. There's people screaming. There's people out of their mind in the haunted house. I said, we're still missing something. We need to have a film. Back then, the scariest movie any of our kids had ever seen was Lassie Runs Away. Or Flipper Gets Beached on the Beach. They'd never seen anything. I just walked into the film shop and I said, give me the scariest scene you got. I don't care what it is. And I'm thinking of that little girl. Is this supposed to be scary? We'll scare you, little girl. And we got, I'm not going to tell you what movie it was, but it was zombies in it, and they're killing each other and blood, eating each other. I mean, it's scary. So we got that thing, had it ready to go. And instead of having 30 teenagers at the activity, we had 150 teenagers at the activity. We called it Night of Terror. We dare you to come. We turned on that video. 2 minutes into the film, two kids ran out throwing up. We said, perfect. Perfect. By the end of the film, there were kids that couldn't even talk. It was they couldn't even speak. We put them on the bus. We said, now it's to the haunted house. So about that time, I had gone in advance and thrown a branch across the little gravel driveway about 100 yards down. So we pull in. We got three buses filled with teenagers. You can hear the screaming. You can see the dim lights in the distance. But there was a branch in the way, and I said, hey, Keith. Remember the senior that couldn't keep the secret? Keith, there's a branch here. Get off the bus. Move the branch. He got off to move the branch. Tony Roberts was dressed in a gorilla Bigfoot outfit, 240 pounds. He's in the woods. Roar! He just grabs Keith and drags him off into the woods. Someone said, what happened to Keith? Something got him. And we kept going. I kid you not. The teenage guys were so scared. The 10th, 11th, 12th graders, they held hands. The boys, as they walked in the haunted house, they held hands all the way through that haunted house. We took them through that haunted house. They finally got out. Then we went to the graveyard. We made a big circle. We started to tell a story about this person who had died. By that time, the youth workers had rushed in advance to the cemetery. And they were dressed like zombies. Halfway through the story, I said, look! And they looked in the woods, and there they are, coming after the kids. You ask any kid that was in the youth group at that time, all you have to do, just start the statement, were you at, and they'll finish it, the night of terror. Little Bobby Buchanan, the pastor's son, he said, that was my first teen activity. Seventh grade, he had just turned 12. That was my first teen activity. I am scarred for life. I've had nightmares my whole life. I think that's why many of them moved to the mission field, just to get away from him. Sometimes we feel like we need to scare. By the way, all that's unbiblical. It's wicked. I've confessed it. You shouldn't do it, but it sure was great. What do fears do to us? We must hasten. They paralyze. There's three reactions to fear. It's freeze, fight, or flight. Our adrenals kick in. They give us extra energy. But sometimes we just stop dead in our tracks. Fear will stop us from serving the Lord. Fear will stop us from being what we ought to be and do what we ought to do. Fear sometimes will make us just run from our problems. But sometimes it'll make us do something else. It affects our health. It affects our spiritual growth. It stops people from accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sometimes it's, I would have got saved, but my friends would have seen me, and I just didn't do it. Amen. If you've ever witnessed to a group of people, it's always someone that's looking to the leader to see, is it okay for us to get saved? The leader doesn't get saved. Oftentimes the followers do not get saved. It prevents us from some things we ought to. I'm going to give you just some common fears and how God can cure those. Number one, we fear a fight. I'm not talking about a physical fight in a dark alley. We're not talking about that. All of us have battles. Amen. Paul put it this way. Fight the good fight of faith. He said this at the last of his life. He said, I have fought a good fight. Being a spiritual Christian, it's a battle to be that. Amen. To have a good marriage, it's a battle to do that. To keep your priorities right, it's a battle. It's a battle to raise good kids. It's a battle to raise teens through the teen years. It's just a battle. It's a battle to have good health. It's a battle to keep your mind straight. It's just a battle all the time. Amen. It was Israel when they faced Goliath, the 9-foot, 6-inch giant. The Bible says, and Israel was sore afraid. They were afraid to fight him. So they just stayed in the valley and didn't make any progress. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe a habit. Perhaps it's a marriage issue that you won't confront. Maybe it's a home issue. Maybe it's lust. Perhaps it's temper, maybe a habit, maybe it's bitterness. Years ago, there was a bully at our school, and I don't give full names anymore. People sit here and Google him and say, you know where he is now? But his name was Dale. We were same size in about 3rd, 4th grade. Then he doubled my size in about 6th grade for some reason. I mean, he filled out. And he was always the guy that would come at recess. Whoever was shooting basketball, he would just grab all the basketballs and keep them the rest of the recess. Just a real P-U-N-K. Okay. And that was him. Well, at that time, they had a new TV show that was out called Kung Fu, starring David Carradine. And I think every boy that watched that thought they were a Kung Fu expert. White Crane Kung Fu, and we knew all the noise. Well, I'd watched one too many shows. So it was recess. Dale took the ball away. I said, not today. And I don't know what happened. I think my guardian angel flew down and a few more did. I grabbed him by the wrist. And I've never done a move like this before. I just did this. I went, and flipped him over me. Pow! He landed on his back on the cement. I said, there you go. I started signing autographs. And you know, they started printing T-shirts with my pictures. I said, where did that come from? I don't know what happened. He never grabbed the ball from me again. The sooner you fight your battle, the sooner you get some rest. Fear makes us want to flee from it and not deal with it. We fear a fight. Number two, we fear the future. Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, he talks about worry. He doesn't call it that. He talks about our thoughts. Let not your thoughts be on tomorrow. He says, sufficient is the evil thereof today. He said, there's enough problems today. Don't be living tomorrow yet. All the worry. And that's probably a big one for most of us right now. Am I going to get COVID? Am I not? Well, I've already had COVID. Well, you're going to get it again. Well, I got the vaccine, but did you get the right vaccine? Oh, you're going to need the booster shot. Are you ever going to be able to travel? I don't want the vaccine card. Well, you're stuck here. You can never travel. But if I get the vaccine card, well, they're going to ask for something else. It's all this. If I don't get the vaccine, I'm losing my job. And now I'm going to lose my retirement. How is this going to affect me? All of it. And then you just watch the news and you're more fearful. They change the rules all the time. They change lose my retirement? You mean so if I signed a petition, now they know my address and they know my phone number and they have my name. What's that about? That's fearful. So when the electricity gets shut off, if you sign the petition, does yours get shut? It's a fearful day. And God says, won't you just focus on today? Amen. Focus on today. Job security, health. Older couples are thinking, who's going to go first? Teens wonder, are my parents going to stay together? Are we going to have any kind of nation in the next 5 or 10 years? What's going to be left of our country? Is it safe to even send my kids to school anymore? Last week, one elementary teacher, public school, took the kids to a gay bar for a field trip. Another school, lap dancing in the with adults. It's all in the news. Pennsylvania, now satanic shirts can be worn to school. They cannot outlaw it. Any kind of satanic emblem, satanic statement, that's their right. What is happening here? It's a fearful day in which to live. But God says, I've not given you that spirit of fear. It doesn't come from me. Everything's all right in my Father's house. God is still God. Seems like sometimes the enemy's winning and he's ahead and we're behind. But I know the final score. We win. Number three, we fear failure. Tell you who never fails. You ready? Those who never try. Pastor, I've never failed at anything. Well, you've just tattled on yourself. You've never tried anything. I remember years ago, my wife and I went up to Tahoe. We said, well, we live so close to the snow, might as well learn how to snow ski. It looks easy. Put two sticks on your feet. Just go downhill. I mean, I've seen it on TV. You know, I've seen that guy and then he jumps, you know. And then you're supposed to land. Then the guy who tumbled, I said, no, I'll be the one who lands. I paid for lessons. My feet naturally, when I just stand up, they do this. When I work real hard, I can almost get them to be straight. That's not good when you're skiing. If you can't do this, it's not good. I stayed on what they call, and it's humiliating, the bunny slope. I was on the bunny slope. I would stand up, and the instructor would say, hey, where's Mike? Oh, he's down here. I mean, I'd stand up and fall down. And at the end of the day, hours and hours, I could coast down the little bunny slope. My wife videoed me going down the bunny slope, then went and got some guy coming down the mountain, and look at him go! Anyway, it looked good when I came home. Failure. Babe Ruth struck out more times than he homered. Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents ever, failed in business, failed running for office, failed I don't know how many times before he ever got elected. My first year of marriage, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to make you a promise. I will never, ever make you cry. I promise. You men are smiling. That lasted about 2 weeks. Number four, forsaken. I was reading a survey about a eastern city whose hospitals were just jammed, filled with people during this pandemic. And they started surveying some of these people. Many of them were repeat customers. And they finally did a study to find out isolation affects so many people's health. They need to interact with other people. And being isolated and quarantined so much caused more physical ailment. And when they went to the hospital, they finally heard kind words and they were around kind people that cared and cheered them on. So they were glad to come back and get some more kind words. Jesus said this, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, you're never alone. Well, I feel alone. My husband and wife, my mate's not on the same page, and my kids aren't on the same page, and I don't have any friends. God says, I am with you. Amen. When our kids were young, you know, as your kids get older, they learn all these tricks of the trade, how to stay up later. You know what I'm talking about? All right, time to go to bed. We're shutting the door. Be quiet. You didn't pray with us. Oh, brother, you've never asked before. You go in, you pray with the kids. All right, here we go. I'm thirsty. Now, here's another visit. Finally, the last time, it would be, we're scared. Now, that's sad when they're 16. So I'd have my little statement. I'd just open the door and I'd say, God is with you. Well, years later, now they're 18, 19, 20. I'd say, who wants to go to the store with Dad? And just in unison, smart aleck kids, God is with you, Dad. What do we fear? Quickly, found out. Found out. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. So what's that mean? Okay, let's find out. Confess. Who's ever thrown toilet paper on somebody's house? Slip that hand up good and high. Okay, how many of you, it was church toilet paper. You stole it from the church and toilet papered someone's house. There's some hands up. Isn't it interesting? It can be 2 a.m, the whole neighborhood is asleep, lights are out, and you're quiet, and you're rolling it, you're getting in the tree, and you're getting that piece and over the house, and Pastor, how do you know this? I've seen people do it. And throwing it. And then as soon as you're done, it's get in the car. You're fleeing, but no one's pursuing. How come? That guilty conscience is making you flee. Sometimes people fear because they're guilty. I've been soul winning before where it's an older teenager open the door and maybe it's 2 or 3 friends and they're pretty wild and whirly. And I'll say, hey, I know what you did last night. And they'll just stop. How did you know? We just met. I said, word's out. Word's out on the street. What do you mean? How'd they find out? We didn't think anybody knew. Well, they know. Well, they know about this. And then they start telling me what they did. Why? Guilt. And I don't know anything they did. Guilt. You want to overcome a fear? Have a good conscience. Nothing hidden. Nothing wrong between you and him and you and them and nobody else. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, I have nothing to hide. Write my life in the clouds. Amen. What a great guy. Quickly. Faces. We fear people's faces. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What's that talking about, the fear of man? Fear of what they think. You ever watch a group of people, whether it's a gang, maybe it's kids, maybe it's teenagers, there's always a leader in the group. If you've ever witnessed to a group of people and you walked up and you said, hey, we're passing out, everyone looks to the leader to see if it's okay to listen to you. They get permission. You might say something funny and they have to look to the leader to get permission to laugh. What is that? The fear of man. That's why some people never serve the Lord. Because whoever their group is, they won't let them. If you're ever going to do anything great for God, you've got to overcome that fear right there. Amen. You're going to have to get to the place where you say, I care more what you think than anybody in the world. Amen. A friend will keep you from getting saved. A friend will keep you from getting right with the Lord. The wrong friend will keep you from going into the ministry. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I was on a plane years ago and witnessed to this lady in the seat next to me. Took a while. We went through the gospel and had about another point or two to clear it, give my testimony. About that time, we landed. They said, folks, we got a real tight connection here. And so those connecting to this flight, grab your stuff. As soon as we pull up to the gate, you're first off and run for it. I said, well, here's a track. You can read the rest. So the lady next to me didn't get to finish sharing the gospel. She jumps off, runs down the corridor. I get my stuff. I'm heading to my gate. I get to my gate. A lot of people everywhere. And I look over there. And I see flight delayed. I look all the way across the corridor and I see that same lady. We make eye contact. I said, she goes, I know, flight delayed. I walked all the way over there. I said, so you got a little time? She said, I do, my flight's delayed. I said, you want to hear the rest? She said, I would. So I'm standing there. If you want to be popular, just get your Bible open in a public place. Everyone will notice who you are if you like that kind of stuff. So I went through the gospel. I said, would you like to accept Christ? She said, I would. I said, ma'am, don't look now, but everyone is looking at us. Everybody's watching us right now. I said, I'm going to fold this Bible. If you would like to accept Christ right now and ask him into your heart and be forgiven, you could put your hand on the Bible. I'll lead you in a prayer if you'd like me to. I said, but there's a lot of people looking at you right now. Here's what she did. She looked up. I don't know any of these people. Dear Lord, please come into my heart right now. Know what she had? She had overcome the fear of man. Young people, I just want to tell you this too. If you're not careful, you hold back on some great decisions for the Lord, for some people who's right on the edge or worldly. And let me encourage you. At your wedding day, when you find the right one and you walk down the aisle and it's the day of days for you, they probably won't even be there. All the people you wanted to cheer you on and clap for you, they probably won't be in the big events of your life. But your parents will be there and your siblings will be there and godly Sunday school teachers will be there and your pastor will be there. You're going to have to decide who's got your ear. What do we fear? We must hasten. Here's another one quickly. Friends changing.
Amen to that. Amen.
When the maniac of Gadara got the demons cast out of him, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet clothed in his right mind and wanted to be with Jesus, it said the people in the town were afraid. When he changed, they were afraid. You know what happens when someone sells out to the Lord and they go back to public school? Friends get afraid. What happened to them? Something happened. They notice. When someone sells out to the Lord and they go back to work in the public workforce, people notice. It's like something's happened. It attracts them. And then last, fatality. We fear death. And I know, you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm not afraid of death. I know. But I just don't want to be on the next train out, do you? I have more I want to do. I want to live out. I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see our nation turn back around. Got some things I want to write. I want to get that Jose cartoon in more languages. Got a lot I want to do. But the Bible says, unsaved people through all their lifetime were in fear of death. Here's what Jesus said. Psalm 23:4, David, I will fear not evil, for thou art with me. You say, Pastor, what helps take that fear away? God's presence. Amen. God's presence helps that. I will never fear thee, nor forsake thee. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? His presence. Three Hebrew children. My watch is battery's down. Okay, I got 12:01 right now. Three Hebrew children are thrown into the fiery furnace. You remember? What would you have done if you were one of them? I know what I would have done. I'd have screamed all the way in. God can take care of us. But if not, well, we're throwing in. Well, God didn't take care of us yet. I think when they threw him in, they went, and then they got up. Shut up, Shadrach. We're not burning. Stop screaming. I think he was still screaming. But when they stood up, they looked around, and he says, all right, let's count. Meshach. And he said, one. There's one of you, one of me, one of him. Who's that other guy? It was the fourth man in the fire. And he looked like the Son of God. By the way, he was in the fire. He didn't get thrown in. He was already there, waiting. And whatever you're going through today, Jesus says, I'm here. Amen. You're not going through it alone. I love you too much. Yep. And then when they came out, he stayed in. He said, I'll be here for next time. Amen. I'll be here for next time. I'll be waiting on you. Yeah, never alone. God's presence. I end with this. Do you have 5 minutes? Can you give me 5 minutes? I take it off tonight, okay? Well, I'm not coming back tonight. Well, I'm taking five off tonight. We had some Fellowship of Christian Athlete clubs in Louisiana when I was working with the teens. One out of Struma High School, Prescott Middle School, Bel Air High School, and I forget where else. And so they would let me speak to all the football players after a practice one day a week, and then in some, it was club day at Struma High School. We had 203 in the club. So that was all the athletes in the school, all the cheerleaders, all those people. So I try to have a guest speaker. One time I had a guy who had a Super Bowl ring, Terry Ellis. He played in a Super Bowl. Another guy, it was the principal who was a Christian. Another guy, and on and on. But one guy was Mr. Gulf States, Mr. Louisiana. He was competing, a bodybuilder, a friend of mine. In fact, when I moved here, that next year, 1987, he won the Mr. USA contest. He used to work out with Lou Ferrigno. Is that how you say his name? Incredible Hulk. They worked out together. A monster of a guy. 22-inch neck. 22-inch biceps. 64-inch chest. 6 feet tall. 300 pounds. I counted him doing 200 dips on the parallel bar. 200 dips. A monster. Worked out 3.5 hours every day. He was my guest speaker at some of the schools. I have never seen a human as big as him. He'd have special altered clothing. In fact, made his own clothing line because clothes didn't fit him. And it felt like just putting a chain on his neck. He'd walk in those high schools and it was like, whoa, we've never seen a guy like you. And I probably shouldn't have done this. In the all-guys meetings, I'd say, Don, take your shirt off. And we'd get the biggest football players, take your shirts off, flex. And then Don, whoa. He'd pick up one of the big football players by his ankles and just hold him over his head. I mean, it was like, Samson is here. You know what I found out? When I was walking through the hallways with Don, I felt pretty safe. I felt real safe. I hate to tell you, I even got a little mouthy. Why? I was with Don. My mouth started opening, and I said things I wouldn't have said if it was just me. What are you looking at? Your mama? Why? I was with Don. I was with Mr. USA. I was with the strong man. And I found out, if you can just realize he's with you everywhere you go, it'll remove your fears at work, going home alone, driving, the neighborhood you live in, taking a stand. He said, I'll never leave you. That's his promise. I'll never leave you. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Maybe you're here today, you've never been saved. Maybe it's been fear that has stopped you. Let me tell you, fear not. It's your day to give your heart to Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized, and that's something you'd like to do. You definitely don't have to fear the water. It's only 3 feet deep. But fear not. Fear not whatever battle you're facing. No Fear Sunday. I hope it'll be part of your life. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the many, many scriptures you've given us.